Okay, would you rather have constantly dry eyes or a constant runny nose?
Oh,
there's a choice for you, isn't it?
Runny nose.
Constant dry eyes or constant runny nose? Dry eyes, right hand. Runny nose, left. I think, was that you, Courtney? I get a runny nose anyway.
Yeah.
No difference for me. Okay, we split on that one as well. Interesting. I'd rather have the dry eyes.
No, I didn't.
No, you're
get, well, get, painful. Who gets dry eyes anyway?
Oh,
I get a dog.
Okay, the choices are difficult sometimes, aren't they? We have to make choices when you're frying me. But sometimes we have to make choices in life that we don't want to make. The choices don't seem to be very good, either of them, but we have to. We're going to think a little bit more about that in a moment. But first of all, David is going to read our Bible passage from the Book of Ruth as we continue on with... Shall I mute everyone? Yes, I'm going to...
Am I on? Can you hear me? Excellent. So I'm reading from Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. I'm actually starting at verse 6 just to give you the context, even though what John's part starts at verse 7, so I apologise for that. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
So we continue with our story as we look at Naomi and Ruth today. We've got a challenge for you, though, if you would like a challenge to do during the talk. And the challenge is to create or to draw or to make an item that helps you. That's it. Think around that. Create something around that. An item that helps you. Okay, as we think a little bit more about the choices that are made and also the things that come from that. I think given some of the choices, though, in the Would You Rather quiz, some of you might prefer not to choose. Some of the choices weren't great. Well, they never are in those things because, you know, that's the whole point of them. We don't like either option. But we had to plump for one today because I made you. I said you had to, which isn't great if you're not very good at making decisions, which, just for the record, I'm not very good at making decisions. In fact, I'm that person who spends a whole evening trying to decide what to watch on Netflix, you know, flicking through all the things, looking at them, only to find that then there's actually no time to watch it because I spent the whole evening looking at them all. But, you know, when I was younger, I was even worse at making decisions, and I used to frequently change my mind. I remember one time that sticks in my memory was when we were on holiday at my nan and granddad's house in Sidmouth. And one day everyone decided they were going to go on a walk. They were going to go up the cliff. It was a lovely day. It was really sunny. And they were going to walk up the cliff and over into the next bay. It was quite a long walk. And I ummed and ahed about this. I thought, do I want to go on this walk? Don't I want to go? I'd rather stay at home. I really can't be bothered to walk. But it looks lovely. And everyone's going. And I just couldn't decide. But eventually I decided I didn't want to go. I was going to stay at home. And my nan said that she would stay with me because she wasn't very fast at walking. And so she'd stay. But truth be told, I was torn. I wanted to be with everyone else. I wanted to be with my nan. I wanted to be at home. I wanted to go out. I wasn't sure what to do. And as I watched everyone go and walk up the path and turn around and wave, I started to think, well, maybe I do want to go, actually. And then they crossed the bridge and then they got to the trees and they waved one last goodbye and disappeared. And I suddenly said to my nan, actually, I really want to go on the walk. I really want to go. Now, most people would have gone, well, it's too bad, isn't it? It's tough. Made your decision. But my nan was a lovely nan. And she said, all right, I'll go with you. My poor nan, who couldn't walk very far or very fast, decided to go with me. And so we set out after the others, long after they'd gone. We never caught them up, of course, and we didn't get very far. But we went a little walk on our own. Wasn't a big moment of indecision, I'll give you that, in the scheme of grand life and things like that. But it was something that sticks with me because I remember that feeling, which we've probably all felt, of wanting something, but also not wanting it at the same time. And that inner turmoil that goes with those decisions that we make. And I'm reminded of this feeling when I read our passage today in the book of Ruth. Because you see, when Naomi left after her life had been turned upside down in the land of Moab, we left her with a glimmer of hope. God had come to the aid of his people in Judah, and Naomi decided to go back there. After years of loss and pain, she'd finally turned back to this glimmer of hope. And with her two daughter-in-laws, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to Judah. It seemed that Naomi had made up her mind, and along with her rather unconventional family, had chosen to hold on to hope in the midst of despair and take this journey back. And we applauded her for that last week. We said it was a brave choice in the midst of darkness. We applauded her for her ability to hold on to God, only to find that this week we get a very different picture. Because it seems that no sooner has Naomi set off on this journey with Orpah and Ruth in tow that she changes her mind, not necessarily about her choice to go back, but about the hope that this will bring. And as if she suddenly sees her reality again, she stops on the road to Bethlehem, turns to her daughters-in-law and tells them to go back to their own land, to their mothers, to the life they grew up with. She doesn't do this in a dismissive way. In fact, she blesses them. She wants the best for them. She truly believes that that would be right. Now, at this moment in time, we're not really sure why Naomi's doing this. She seems indecisive. As if she's in turmoil about the decisions that she's making, changing her mind almost as soon as she's decided something. And neither do Orpah and Ruth know, because they try to persuade her to let them come with her. But Naomi is adamant. Return home, my daughters, she says. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Return home, says Naomi. There's nothing here for you. And as she urges them to turn back, we see that Naomi isn't simply indecisive, but that actually she's struggling to emerge from the darkness she feels she's in. It is more bitter for me than for you, she says, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. Or if you like, Naomi's convinced that there's no hope for Orpah and Ruth if they go with her, because there is really no hope for her at all. And we realise that despite her attempts to turn towards this glimmer of hope she saw in Judah, actually Naomi is struggling to believe there is anywhere she can go that will make her life better. In fact, as we see when she finally gets to Bethlehem, she's struggling to even believe that the God she grew up trusting can offer any hope for her at all. Because when she's greeted on her arrival home, she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." And so back on the road to Judah, Orpah, Ruth and Naomi weep. They kiss and they prepare for their goodbyes. Orpah sets out to return home, which is by far and away the best thing that either of them could do, returning to Moab, to the safety of their families. But Ruth refuses to go. Ruth refuses to leave Naomi's and let her arguments sway her. And in the end, she makes a commitment far and beyond the journey they're on at that moment. As right there and then, Ruth says to Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. You see, Ruth sees what we are beginning to realise, that Naomi, this woman of God, has lost the ability to believe in the goodness of God that her people have always known. And so here on the road to Bethlehem, Ruth commits to believe for her, if you like. She commits to be Naomi's strength, to be her future, to be her next step along the road. Ruth, if you like, commits at this moment in time to become Naomi's hope. And with that, to carry her burdens with her, to carry her losses and her dreams until Naomi can once again carry them herself. And so together they head to Bethlehem, two widows on their way to an unknown future. As I was reading this, I was thinking about things that happen in our life that may be similar in the way that people support each other. And I was reminded of something I saw on telly in athletics recently, which was, well, a few years ago, which was concerning Johnny and Alistair Brownlee, who you see on the screen at the moment. They're triathlon champions. Some of you may know them. They're British and they win a lot of things. But in 2016, to be world champion, Johnny Brownlee only had to finish first, which was fine for him because he mainly did finish first in the race that he was running. And he would win the world championship. He was way ahead of the field in the final kilometres. And he was going to win. But then suddenly heat took its toll. And Johnny Brownlee just suddenly didn't know where he was. He couldn't stand up straight. He was crawling along the barriers. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where the finish line was. And he was about to be overtaken. And as his brother Alistair came round the corner with a chance to win the race, he saw Johnny Brownlee, his brother, and he reached down and he took him and he put his arm around his shoulder and he literally carried him round the rest of the race. I mean, he let him run on his own feet, but he wasn't really running himself, Johnny. Alistair was carrying him. And in the end, someone else overtook them, but Johnny came second and Alistair came third. And you see, the thing is that Johnny couldn't manage on his own. He had nothing left. He needed someone else to be his strength and his energy and his guide at that moment in time. And so to his own detriment, Alistair, his brother, willingly took on that role, as did Ruth for Naomi. I don't think she actually physically carried her at any point, but she committed to carry her in every other way until Naomi felt strong enough to carry herself. And Ruth did it despite the fact that this wasn't the best thing for her, despite the fact that it would have been far easier and far safer for her to return to Moab and her family there. And amazingly, because of Ruth's commitment, we see in this story the call of God, written large in this journey from Moab to Bethlehem, in this relationship between Ruth and Naomi, the call of God which tells each and every one of us to care for the other. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, says Paul in the letter to the Galatians. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow, says God through the prophet Isaiah. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me, says Jesus in the parable of the sheep and the goats. In fact, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbour as yourself, says Paul in the book of Galatians. This is the call of God to those who love him. And ironically, on the road to Bethlehem, it was Ruth the Moabite who took up this call when she chose to uphold Naomi, the woman of God, who was struggling in her faith. Because sometimes, however long we've been following God, we need someone else to help us along the way. Sometimes, however much we know, we need someone else to believe for us or to stand firm for us or to hold hope for us. We need someone else to hold what we cannot until we're able to pick it up again ourselves. This is what Naomi did when she allowed Ruth to accompany her, knowing full well that the burden that it would place on this young woman would be great. And this is what we do when we allow someone else to take the strain for us too. But in the same breath, sometimes we need to be the ones who stand alongside others in their distress. Sometimes we need to be the ones who are willing to set aside our comforts and our securities and our futures to step alongside other people. not simply to lend a hand here and there, as we're taught to do and as many of us do every single day, but learning what it is to really walk alongside someone in the reality of their life, offering to be strength when it's needed, offering to face loss alongside someone else, offering to carry burdens, offering to be the hope which others feel is beyond them at that time. So that instead of walking by on the other side of the road, we learn to stand with our fellow human beings in a way that enables them to carry on. You know, I was struck a little while ago by the words of Marcus Rashford. For those of you who don't know him, he's a Manchester United and England footballer, very good footballer at that. And he recently stood up to the government to force them to make a U-turn on free school meals for children who needed them. And one of the things that Marcus Rashford said was this: these children matter. These children are the future of this country. They are not just another statistic. And for as long as they don't have a voice, they will have mine. And in a sense, these words of Marcus Rashford, albeit in a very different setting, express something of the commitment of Ruth. All those years ago, she chose to be all that Naomi could not possibly be, as she chose to be the voice of hope in Naomi's darkness. For as long as Naomi didn't have a voice, she would have Ruth. And in a sense, these words express the actions of all those who stand alongside anyone who needs strength beyond their own. Those who stand alongside people when they're discriminated against. Those who stand alongside people who grieve or people who are unheard and unseen by society. Because there are words that express total empathy and commitment to others, the quality Ruth showed to Naomi. And a quality anyone who takes the gospel seriously shows to other people when they commit more than a news cycle to those whose voice is not heard or for whom hope is too far for them to reach. And it's a quality that we are called to show today too, as we choose in the most extraordinary circumstances not to just accept help when we need it, but also to commit to step into the experience of others so that we can walk with them along a road we would often rather not be on, so that we can all face life together. After all, this is what Jesus did for us. And so it really should be what we are willing to do for others as well. We're going to take a moment as we think about what God is saying to each of us, as we think about people who are struggling and suffering in our world. In a moment of quiet, if you have a piece of paper with you, then this would be the time to use it. If not, don't worry. But in a moment of quiet, I'd like you to maybe write down people or places or situations where people are struggling, where they need those to walk alongside them. And we're going to use these bits of paper in our prayer in a moment if you have them. So just take a moment to write down situations or people or areas where you feel need God and us to walk alongside. Oh, lots of people have things that help them. There are lots of things that help us, and they're very practical and they're very good, but there are also each other, that we can help each other, not just in the moments, but we're walking together along this road and we're learning to understand what others like. So we continue to do that as Ruth did it for Naomi. We're going to sing our final song this morning. I, the Lord of, I'm going to mute everyone and then they can unmute. So as we go from here into our other rooms or our breakout groups, wherever we may be going, may we know God walking with us. May we know God's hand upon us, and may we know his hand in our lives. But may we also know what it is to walk alongside one another, sharing our lives with each other and holding for each other those things we cannot hold ourselves. And may God bless us and keep us and walk with us always. Amen.